to turn to the scriptures of Colossians chapter 1 and begin reading with verse number 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. This would be a continuation of the reading that we had last Wednesday night. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. The Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This is what the scriptures say of what the Lord God had done for all mankind. He reconciled us. God was in Christ, and he was reconciling the world unto himself, and he did not impute our trespasses upon ourselves. He did not do that to us. We owned sin. When we sinned, we owned it. That belonged to us. Our name was ascribed to it. And for that sin, there has to be a penalty paid. And that penalty for our sin is death. But God was in Christ, and he reconciled the world unto himself by Jesus Christ, and he hath given unto us this ministry of reconciliation, that he would cancel the debt, that he would pay the cost, that we might be saved. And this scripture that we read this evening speaks to that, speaks to this ministry of reconciliation that God did for us as he was in Christ. A beautiful thought that is magnanimous. It has to take us out of what, as we pray together, of the things that we see, of the things that we're, the mundane things of life. As we experience these things day after day after day, this message of reconciliation, of what God has done for us, ought to be so precious and so treasured in our lives, that we would be as those who would sell everything and buy that field that has that precious treasure hidden in it. This is what God has done for us. And this is the message that we have, this message and this ministry of reconciliation that God has done for us, that he would pay the difference of the cost that was associated with our sins. And so this scripture that we began reading this evening, where we picked up from last week, speaks of the divine preeminence of Christ, that speaks of his greatness, how God has translated us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then it says, of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. This is who Christ is. As God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, Christ was the image of the invisible God. And the scriptures make that clear. When Philip came before Jesus and said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And Christ simply says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Christ said. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He is the image of the invisible God. If we go to the next chapter in Colossians chapter 2, it says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ, the fullness of that of the Godhead, that which testifies in heaven, it dwells in Christ in a bodily form. And so God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Christ is the image of the invisible God. Christ says that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the scriptures say, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in a bodily form. The fullness of the Godhead. Then in Hebrews, it also speaks, speaking of Jesus, who it's, being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, that Christ was the express image of the person of God as he came here upon this earth. And so we see this to be true, that this is the Lord and his working and his preeminence that he has, that Christ has. So he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. And over here in this in these passages of these scriptures, it says that by him, by Christ, all these things happen. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, by Christ, and for him. This was Christ. This was what God was doing through Christ, working in him in this manner. And certainly other scriptures speak to that as well. Of how the Lord God had given unto Christ that he would be the creator of all things. 1 Corinthians speaks of it, and in other places as well. And John's Gospel, the first chapter as well, speaks of Christ. All things were created by him. And it says further that he is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things consist by Jesus Christ. They are come into being. They are come into fruition and are manifest by Christ, as the scriptures here proclaim. And so he is to have the preeminence. And this is what the Apostle Paul here is building the case, that how great Jesus Christ is. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In all things, Christ should have the preeminence. This is what God has done, God the Father has done for his Son, that Christ would have the preeminence in all things. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So here's our Savior, here's our Lord, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He has the preeminence of all things. And it pleases the Father that in Christ all fullness should dwell. All fullness should dwell. There is nothing lacking in our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And so we glorify him and we lift up his name. And it is not possible to give Christ too much glory. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and that in all things he might have the preeminence. The preeminence belongs to our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The scriptures clearly make that abundantly clear. And so in that context, let's consider this now, this ministry of reconciliation that Jesus Christ has given. That he who has the preeminence of all things and in whom the all fullness dwells, he making peace through the blood of his cross by him, again, through Jesus Christ, and over again, over and over in these verses here that we've read together, it says that by him, through Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet hath he now reconciled. Jesus Christ reconciled us to the Father. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, but has given unto us the word of reconciliation. We are reconciled back to the Father. We who were filthy and dead in our sins are being now reconciled, are made back and whole and pleasing back to the Father. Even when we were alienated, separated from him, not part of the kingdom of God, and were enemies in our mind by our wicked works which we had committed, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned, and we've all separated ourselves from our God. But God, in his great love, hath given unto us this ministry, this service of reconciliation, to bring us back to the Father, that we might have life. It's the wonderful gospel story that we so cherish in our lives. And it raises us above those things which are mundane that we go through day after day in our lives. And this just simply gives us such great joy that even after we were alienated and enemies of his by our wicked works, he even then reconciled us to him in his body, in his flesh, through death. And this is the way the reconciliation needed to happen. That that the Godhead came in bodily form here upon this earth to redeem us, to reconcile us, and to bring us back to him. No man could have paid the price for our sin. The Godhead had to pay for our sin, that we could be presented to him holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. And so it happened in the body of his flesh through death. And for what Christ has done for us, he who has the preeminence over all things, in whom all fullness dwells, he took upon himself flesh, and he died that we might be then presented to God holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. Something we never could have accomplished on our own. We could have repented in tears. We could have worn ashes all our lives through. We could have mourned for our sins. But it was Christ who had to pay the price for our sins. And only through what Christ did could our sins be paid for. It's the beautiful gospel story. But there's a clause here, and there's a conditional statement. If we continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So we have to continue in this faith. In this faith, and to believe that Jesus Christ was in fact the Son of God, that he is part of the Godhead, that he did come from all eternity down here upon this earth and took upon himself flesh and blood, that he died upon a cross, that he shed his precious blood, the perfect lamb. And by that shedding of that blood, there is remission for our sins once and for all. That faith that we have in what Christ did for us needs to be evident in our lives. And we cannot be moved from it, as the Bible here says. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. This is what God has done for us. This is the word of reconciliation. This is the great news, the good news of the gospel. And we rejoice in it. And it is but a small thing for us then to be grounded and settled in our faith throughout all our days, trusting in him. And then he speaks here of how he has been made a minister for this gospel to the people. And the Lord Christ had to convey that to Ananias as Paul was making his way, or Saul at the time was making his way to Damascus to persecute the believers there. And the Lord Jesus Christ has appeared unto him in a bright shining light. And when Ananias heard of that news, he feared and he trembled and told the Lord that he had heard much about this Saul. And the Lord Christ told Ananias, said, he's a chosen vessel unto me, and he's going to proclaim my name to the Gentiles, to kings, and even to the Jewish people. And then he told Ananias that, and I will show Saul, the Apostle Paul, who later became the Apostle Paul, how great things he must suffer. But even in these sufferings that he had, grace was given. So yes, the Apostle Paul suffered in proclaiming the gospel, and there were Jews that were lying in wait for him continuously in many of the cities where he proclaimed the gospel, but yet grace was given. He suffered, but grace was given. And he had that thorn in the flesh, but grace was given. But grace was given. And so he went in that grace, and he proclaimed the gospel. And he showed forth to the people the message of reconciliation, how that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so the Lord Jesus also had spoken unto Paul himself, saying, I will deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles whom now I send thee to open their eyes. This is Christ speaking to the Apostle Paul, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So here it was that Christ is saying, they'll be sanctified by the faith that they have in me. So go proclaim it. Go proclaim how they are being translated from the power of darkness unto the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so he speaks here in verses 23, 24, 25 of how this ministry was given unto him, and how he... it was a dispensation of God that was given unto him to fulfill the word of God, that as he would go forth and preach the message of salvation, this message that there can be reconciliation, repent of your sins, live no more in sin, walk in newness of life, be empowered by the Spirit, live for him, glorify his name. And he brought forth that message to all the places wherever he went. fulfilling the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So there was this mystery. There was this mystery that was hid from ages and from generations. The Apostle Peter speaks of this as well, how the prophets had proclaimed this, and the angels desired to look into these matters. But it was now being made manifest unto his saints. And so here we are in this generation, and we have the scriptures before us, and it enlivens us, and we come to this fuller revelation of wisdom, of truth, of an understanding of what God did for us. And it is now no longer a mystery unto us, but it's been declared. And this declaration here is in verse number 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. This is the mystery that has now been revealed, that Christ is in us. And this is something that was new. This was something that's glorious. The old people in the Old Testament times, they had to obey the law. But they didn't have the Holy Spirit abiding in them. They didn't have Jesus Christ in them. And they found that on their own, they failed. They couldn't keep the law. They couldn't keep the law. And then for whatever law it was, even if it was just one, if there was a breaking of the law, then there was a penalty that had to be paid for that law that was broken. And so now it was Christ came to fulfill the law. He came in grace and in truth. And he now lives within us. And he is the hope of glory. And this is the great message of salvation, that he who is preeminent of all things, of he who in whom all fullness dwells, he dwells within us. This is something that's magnificent. And he reconciles us back to the Father. And this didn't happen in old times. This didn't happen in ages past. But in this time, now it is. As we have faith in Christ, this ministry of reconciliation is one of great joy and of great news as this gospel message goes forth. I'd like to read some verses that speak to this truth of Christ being in us. So it speaks here that this is the mystery, and it's now been revealed that he who is preeminent, he who in whom all fullness dwells, he dwells now within us. And it's never happened before up until this time that he spoke here of. So I'm going to read some scriptures that speak to this indwelling of Christ into our hearts and into our lives. But often what happens is when a minister would read verses that sometimes our minds tend to wander. But try to focus and consider these verses that speak of he who is so significant lives in us who are in so insignificant. He who is preeminent above all things dwells in us as mortal beings. Jesus Christ says, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Christ told that to his disciples. I will be in you. I am in the Father, and ye will be in me. Then later, the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to his Father. They're recorded in John 17. And he says, I in them, Christ in us, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. This is what Christ is praying to the Father. that as he would be in us, that then the world would know that Jesus Christ has been sent by the Father, and that thou hast, and that the Father has loved the world. And so this again is that great message of the gospel of reconciliation, how that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, but giving unto them the word of reconciliation. We have been reconciled back to the Father, and it took Christ, part of the Godhead, in a bodily form, that we might be reconciled, that we might be redeemed, and then now he dwells within us. The Apostle Paul came to this understanding and to this truth when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This was his faith. This is what he truly believed, that he lived, but yet it wasn't him, but it was Christ living in him. And so then he was grace was dispensed unto him, that it didn't matter that there were people in Thessalonica that were wanting to persecute him heavily. It didn't matter that there were others that were chasing him. It didn't matter that he was shipwrecked and had a viper bite his arm. These things didn't matter. Christ was in him. And we rejoice in this, what Christ has done. And so he said. So he tells the Colossian people here, he says, in whom we preach, it's Jesus Christ that we're preaching, and we're warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This was their desire. As they were proclaiming the gospel message, as they were proclaiming the truth of reconciliation, it was their desire that every man would then be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's what Jesus said, that I in them and thou in me, to the Father, that they may be made perfect in one. We can be made complete. We can be made whole. We can be made to that fullness of Christ. As we believe this truth and accept this wisdom that is from on high. And he concludes here this chapter by saying, whereunto I also labor according to the working, according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. The Apostle Paul is recognizing that this is Christ working in me. I have died. Christ lives within me. I live by faith, and he's working in me, and he's accomplishing great things, even as he told me. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, that you would preach unto them, and that they would be delivered from the power of darkness and be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. And then again, going back to the beginning part of the chapter that we read last week, that we would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. It wasn't the Apostle Paul. It was Christ in him. It's not us. It's Christ in us. We are strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, because God was in Christ, and Christ is in us. And our finite minds fully cannot understand this greatness of what God has done for us in that sending of his only begotten Son, and that as he has risen and ascended and is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, that he dwells within us by faith in him. So the Apostle Paul speaks also to the Ephesians on about this topic as well, that Christ dwells within us. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. This happens by faith, that we believe, though we don't see. Again, we're not looking with eyes of that we can see, but with eyes of faith, on those things which we cannot see, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all understanding, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This was the Apostle Paul's desire for the Ephesians and for all those that he discipled and brought the gospel to, that they would be all filled with all the fullness of God. When Christ dwells within us, we are filled with all the fullness of God. Why would such a powerful, great God decide to do things this way? Because of the great love that he had for us. And it helps us to comprehend what is that length, that depth, and that height, and to understand this love of Christ that dwells within us. This moves us above the mundane. This moves us beyond the drudgery of life. And it gives us an eternal perspective, and to know that he who is preeminent, he who dwells in fullness, lives within us, if we abide in faith, and allow him to work in our hearts. May this gospel truth, may the power of this wisdom that God has given unto us, and this revelation of this mystery that Christ is within us, move us, may it waken us, may it drive us, that we would be well-pleasing unto him in all good works, as he works in us mightily, being as we are strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. May God move us to love him more and more. May God move us to be more and more revealing that Christ lives within us. That his power that he had, even through his meekness, would be revealed through us. This ought to bring such an abundant amount of humility to our lives as we consider that God dwells within us, Christ dwells within us, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, the Godhead dwells within us. We ought never to think of ourselves highly because of this, or to boast of anything of ourselves. But God has done this for us and ought to move us to humility. So may he bless his word upon our hearts in this evening. Amen.